Now, the reading tonight is again in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, in the last few verses. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse number 34. Now, I don't think the meeting is going to be too comfortable tonight, because the words of the Lord Jesus in these verses don't make me feel very comfortable. They're very challenging words. There were words that would really get right into the very depths of my soul tonight. And I trust that, although we've made you welcome and we trust that you're comfortable in our presence, we trust that the word of God as is read and preached tonight, we trust that will make you feel uncomfortable. The Lord Jesus says in verse number 34, and when Jesus had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I'm sure God will bless and challenge our hearts with these words tonight. In the last couple of nights, we have looked at some of the previous verses in this chapter. We've particularly looked at verse number 31, where the Lord Jesus brings before us two musts. He says, the Son of Man must suffer, and the Son of Man must rise again. And in the last two nights, we've really spent the time thinking about the necessity for the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. And we've been thinking of the necessity for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And two nights ago, as we thought of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, we were seeking to impress upon our hearts not just the reality of his sufferings, but to think of the purpose for his sufferings. That Christ suffered for sins. That all the sufferings that the Lord Jesus endured on that cross at Calvary were an account of my sins. Were an account of your sins. And we'll never ever be able to understand the depths of his sufferings. Not just that he received at the hands of men, but that he received at the hands of a holy God in the midst of the darkness and the loneliness of the cross. And yet the great truth is this, that Christ suffered for our sins. You see, sin is not a light thing. Sin is not something that we dare play about with. Sin is so serious that it caused the sufferings of Jesus Christ, God's sinless Son, at Calvary. Christ suffered for our sins. And we talked about his suffering. And we talked about his death on the cross, and we thought about his burial. But last night we thought about his glorious out-resurrection. We thought about the fact that the one that must suffer, he must rise again. And we thought about the fact that 3 days after he died on the cross, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and that Jesus is alive tonight. Jesus is alive. That's why we're able to preach with confidence. That's why we're able to preach without any shame. We're able to preach the message of the gospel with total confidence tonight, because we know that the one that we present to perishing souls is Jesus Christ, alive from the dead and able to save all who come to him. And this one that suffered for our sins and was buried and was raised again and is alive in heaven, he makes demands. He brings challenges to all those that would follow him, all those that would trust in him. And I want to think tonight about some of the demands that Jesus makes to those that would be his disciples. It's easy to become a Christian. It's not easy to live as a Christian. To become a Christian is a moment and time when a person bows the knee in repentance and receives Jesus into their heart, just in a moment, a person is born from heaven, born of God, born again, become a Christian in a moment. But it takes a whole lifetime to live out the reality of that momentary act of faith and trust in Christ. You see, Christianity is more than a momentary decision. It is a call to discipleship. It's a call to total commitment. It's a call to total abandonment to Jesus Christ. It's a call to walk the narrow way that leads to heaven and leads to home. The Lord Jesus, in these verses, as he addresses those that were round about him, he brings before them the demands of discipleship, the challenge of commitment. Or he brings before us the prospect. He says in verse 34, "Whosoever shall come after me." What a glorious prospect, eh? Being associated with Jesus Christ. Being linked with Christ. Being one with Christ. Whosoever will come after me. What a prospect to come after Christ. To be associated with this glorious person, Jesus Christ, alive from the dead. Would you not like to be associated with Jesus? To be one of his own. To be his disciple. Where was the Lord Jesus going? Well, he was going to the cross and he was going into the tomb and he was going to be raised from the dead and then he was going back to heaven and the fullness and the glory of resurrection, power and life. And the Lord Jesus Christ is making this appeal to men and women to come after him. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ wants men and women and young people and you come up tonight to be associated with himself where he is. And heaven. And the fullness of his resurrection power and life and glory. You see, the Apostle Paul wrote to some Christians at Ephesus, and he said, you know, he says, I want just to encourage your heart. He says, you know, he says, we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And he says, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And you know, the individuals that come after Christ, the individuals that are following Christ, that are totally and utterly abandoned to Christ, you know, that's the prospect of enjoying Christ where he is and the glory and the power of his resurrected life. To be seated where he is in the heavenlies and to enjoy all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. My friend, I want to tell you, our minds are too small to comprehend all that God has in store for those that come after Christ. And I'm not just talking about heaven. I'm talking about the enjoyment of heaven in our souls, here and now. You see, the individuals that are coming after Christ, the individuals that are daily seeking him and enjoying him, I tell you, my friend, they've got a deep-seated joy. And they've got a glorious peace in their heart. And they've got a beautiful tranquility. And there's a glory about all that they say and do because they're in association moment by moment with a man in heaven. They're coming after him and they're seeking him and they're knowing him. Would you not like that? Would you not like your life just to be different today? Apart from all the drudgery and the misery and the chasing and all that goes on in your life day by day. Would you not just like to be in the enjoyment of deep-seated peace? Would you not like your heart to be filled with the joy of heaven? Would you not like your life to be marked by power and victory and fulfillment and reality and satisfaction? I think that's what Christ offers those that come after him. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was going to the cross and he was going to die for sin and he was going to be buried and he was going to be raised in the power of endless life and he was going to take his place in the heavenlies and he wants men to come after him and to enjoy him where he is in heaven. My friend, I tell you, the Christian life is an exciting life.
Because the Christian life is not just a mere religion. It's not just a form of doctrines and teaching. I tell you, true Christianity is to enjoy a personal, day-by-day relationship with a man in heaven. And to increase in our knowledge of him and our experience of him. To allow him to be everything to us.
And that's the prospect that is opening. That's the prospect the Lord Jesus is presenting to us tonight. If any man will come after me and enter into the fullness of the abundance of the life that he has. Would you like that? Life in all its fullness. That's the prospect. But then the Lord says, listen, there's a price. There's a price. There's a price. There's a price to be paid by individuals that want to come after Christ. What's the price? He says, let him deny himself. What the Lord Jesus Christ is really saying, listen, you can't have me in the throne of your life. If you're in the throne. If you're really going to come after me, if you're going to be totally, utterly committed to me, if you're really going to be one of my disciples, then you'll need to deny yourself. You'll need to disown yourself. You'll need to dethrone self from the throne of your life. I just want you to cast your mind over the last X number of years of your life since you were born. Who's been in control? Who's been in charge? Whose interest have you been serving? Isn't it true that your life has just revolved around you? Your interest.
And that's how you weigh things up. Things that come into your life. Choices that you've got to make. You weigh these things up in relation to how they'll affect you.
Well, Lord Jesus says, listen, he says, if you're going to be one of my disciples, he says, if you're going to be a true Christian, he says, you're going to need a radical change in your life. You'll need to dethrone yourself. You'll need to disown yourself. Because the person that's coming after Christ and enjoying the fullness of the blessings that he has for him are individuals that have come to that point where they say, it's not really my will that matters anymore. It's God's will. It's the Lord's will. You see, that's commitment, isn't it? And that's a challenge to my heart tonight. That's a challenge to every heart in the meeting, I trust in. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he lay in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross, he prayed. And he was in an agony as he prayed. And this is where he prayed. He says, Father, he says, not my will, but thine be done. And you know, every individual that wants to enter into the fullness of Christ's life and the fullness of his blessing has got to come to that point where they say, listen, it's not my will anymore that matters. It's your will. Because you see, you can't really have Jesus as your saviour and not have him as your Lord.
The Lord Jesus Christ is not just in the business of saving souls from hell and allowing them to live their own lives and do their own thing and go their own way.
Well, the Lord wants to save you from hell tonight. But he wants to take control of that life of yours. He wants to sit on the throne of your life. He wants to be Lord, sovereign Lord. And he wants you to be willing just to receive him into me. And just to crown him as Lord of my life. Lord of my life, I crown you now. I wonder, are you prepared for that price tonight? To say no to all your selfish interests. To say yes to the interests and to the will and the plan that God has for your life. God's got a plan for your life tonight. But God can never fulfill that plan in your life unless you're prepared to say yes to it. And say no to your own plans and embrace wholeheartedly and with commitment the plan that Christ would have for you. The Lord Jesus not only brought before them the prospect of coming after him and entering into the fullness of his life and the price that would need to be paid for that. But he spoke to her about the public testimony that they need to make. He says, if any man will come after me, he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross and follow me. That was public testimony. You see, that language that the Lord Jesus Christ used would be well known to the people of Palestine because public executions by crucifixion were commonplace at that time. In particular, the people in Jerusalem would often see men bearing a cross and leaving the city of Jerusalem to go to die at Calvary. The Lord Jesus says, listen, he says, if you want to come after me, then you'll need to make a public declaration. You'll need to take up your cross and you'll need to follow me. You'll need to take a stand alongside me. You'll need to be prepared to make a public statement that you're dead. Because that's what the cross is. The cross is an instrument of death. It was an instrument of execution. And when the Christian takes up his cross, what he's really saying is this: listen, I'm totally and utterly identified with the Lord Jesus. I have died with him. I've died to self. All self-ambitions and all self-interest and self-pride and self-sufficiency and self-righteousness. I've died to all that. I'm finished with all that. And I've died to sin. And finish with that as well. You see, you can't really have God's salvation and hold on to your sin. I know as Christians we're not sinless, we still sin, but you know, any Christian that enjoys their sin is not a Christian at all. Because Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6 that we're dead to sin. We're dead to sin, we've died to sin.
Just as surely as the Lord Jesus died on the cross, the person who is identified by faith in the Lord Jesus, he likewise has died to sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Sin no longer controls us. We've died to it. We're finished with it.
Do you want to be finished with your sin tonight? You see, if you don't want to be finished with your sin, you can never really be a follower of Christ. You can never be a Christian. You can never experience eternal life unless you're prepared to be finished with your sin, to die to it. Maybe your problem tonight is you still enjoy your sin. And you still enjoy all your pleasures. My friend, as long as you're in the enjoyment of your sin and your pleasures, you'll never get saved. Because the Lord Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up that cross. Let him be prepared to die to all selfish interests, and die to sinful desires, and die to this old world. Die to this old world. That's what the Apostle Paul says. You know, he says, I'm crucified to the world and the world is crucified to me. He says, I'm finished with the world and the world's finished with me. That's what it means to be a Christian.
You see, we can't really be a Christian and still be at home in this world. The Bible says the whole world system all around us, it just lies in the lap of the wicked one.
It's in the hands of the devil. And you know, when a person makes a commitment to follow Jesus Christ, to come after Christ and to enjoy the fullness of his blessing in their life, they've got to say, listen, I'm finished with this old world. This world doesn't have any attraction for me anymore. This world's got nothing it can offer me. My friend, how can the world offer anything to someone that's in the enjoyment of heaven?
How can the world offer anything to those that are in enjoyment day by day of Christ and the fullness of life in him?
The Lord Jesus says, listen, this is the challenge of following me. This is the challenge of becoming a Christian. It's not just a momentary decision. It's not just a case of bowing the head and saying, Jesus, I want to receive you as my Saviour.
I want you to cleanse me from my sins. I want you to save me from hell. It's a case of saying, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life.
I want to be totally and utterly abandoned to you and to you alone. I want you to be the very source of my happiness, the source of my peace, the source of my life completely. And I just want to be dead to everything that's around me. I'm prepared to take up the cross and die to self and die to sin and die to the world day by day and yet be gloriously alive to you. You prepare for that? That's the demands of discipleship. That's the demands, that's the challenge of commitment to Jesus Christ. You see, the man that was taking up the cross was only facing in one direction. He wasn't looking back. He was going to die. He was finished. He was finished with the old world. He was going to die. That's what it means to become a Christian. It's to die. It's to die to sin. It's to die to self. It's to die to the old world.
Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live.
But it's no longer me that's living, it's Christ that's living in me. That's Christianity tonight. I wonder, are you prepared to die tonight? Are you prepared to be crucified with Christ, that old you?
Are you prepared to see it put an end to?
Paul says, I'm dead, I'm crucified with Christ. That old Paul is finished with. That old religious bigot, that old zealous Jew, that old proud Pharisee, it's finished, he's gone. Crucified with Christ. But he says, listen, he says, I'm still living. But it's not that old Paul that's living anymore. He says, it's actually Christ that's living his life in me. I think, that's it. That's what it's all about. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to live his life in you. But he can't live his life in you and live his life in me until we're dead, until we're crucified with him. Oh, my friend, I wonder, are you willing tonight to take up the cross? I wonder, are you prepared to die for Christ? Die with Christ and die to all that's in the world. Just to allow you, the Lord Jesus Christ to fill you with his life and to live and to express that life in you day by day. The Lord Jesus Christ says, listen, I don't only want to present the prospect of coming after me. I don't only want to present you with a price and present you with the need for a personal testimony, a personal declaration that you have died with me. But he says, I want to impress upon you the need for a persistent walk. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Follow me. Follow me. A persistent walk. Following Christ. You see, my friend, we don't really appeal just for people to make decisions in meetings like this. My friend, what we're asking you to do is to weigh up the whole truth of commitment to Christ. Being a Christian is one that follows the Lord Jesus. Persistently, consistently, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. See, despite the cost, despite the challenge, despite the commitment, I'm prepared to follow the Lord. He's going to become the very aim and object of my life, and I'm going to pursue after him moment by moment, doing what he asks me to do, saying what he tells me to say, being what he wants me to be. A life that's sold out to Jesus Christ and nothing less. Are you prepared for that? You see, I could water the whole thing down tonight, but if I was to water the whole thing down, I would be unfaithful to you, and I would be unfaithful to God tonight. The tragedy is there are so many people, and they come to meetings like this, and they make a decision to trust Christ, and it just doesn't go any further than that. They never really get clear of the world, and they never really get clear of their sins, and they're still pursuing their own selfish interests, and they never really follow Christ. My friend, there's a challenge in meeting tonight. The challenge of commitment to the Lord Jesus. The challenge of total and absolute consecration to his will for our lives. And we'll never enter into the fullness of all that he has for us until we're prepared to take up these demands and follow him wholeheartedly, day by day. In the next verse, in verse 35, he speaks about preserving and losing. He talks about our lives. He talks about those who desire to save their life, to preserve their life, to hold on to their life. And then he says, ultimately, they're going to lose it. But he says, those that are prepared to lose their life for my sake and the Gospels, I say, they're going to save it. You see, the Lord really is bringing a personal choice before us tonight. But that personal choice has eternal consequences. Your personal choice tonight, the choice that you make tonight, will have eternal consequences. And the Lord Jesus says there's individuals and they just want to hold on to their life. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you just want to hold on to your life. You don't want to relinquish control. You don't want to give it up. You want to hold on to it. You see, you're quite happy with your life, aren't you? Deep down, you don't want to let it go. There's so much about yourself, there's so much about your sin, there's so much about the world that you want to hold on to. You don't want to let it go. Lord Jesus says, those that want to save their life, those that want to hold on to their life, he says, there's coming a day when they're going to lose it. And there's coming a time when that life's going to be taken away from you. Coming a day when you're going to be taken away from your sin, you're going to be taken away from the world. That world that's so attractive to you, that world that's taking you away from Christ and those pleasures. It's coming a time when you're going to be taken away from them all. And those sinful habits and lusts and desires that you love,
There's coming a moment when they're all going to be taken away.
Tonight you want to hold on to your life. You want to have control of it. You want to do your own thing. You want to live your own life. And then there's coming a moment where you're going to lose it. Your personal choice tonight in relation to these matters are going to have eternal consequences that you can't escape. Lord Jesus says, is it not far better to lose your life, to give it up?
For my sake and for the gospel's sake, just give it over to me. And save it, preserve it, keep it for eternity.
Lord Jesus, we'll go on in the next verse. Talk not so much about preserving and losing, but talking about profit and loss. He says, after all, he says, what will it profit a man? Suppose down here he gained the whole world and at the end of the day lost his soul. What would the profit be? See, the thing that's keeping you back from Christ then. The thing that's keeping you back from total commitment to Jesus Christ, that very thing will be the thing that will damn your soul for eternity in hell. Now I'm going to ask you tonight, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is a night in the nightclub worth an eternity in hell?
Is a couple of jars in the pub worth an eternity in the lake of fire?
Is a couple of bags worth the losing of your soul? Because that's the issue to me. That's the issue. That's it at the very bottom line. Suppose you gain the whole world. Suppose you gain all you're after. And you lose your own soul. What's the profit of you? What's the profit of you?
What's the benefit? What's the return from what you're going in for?
My friend, if you're getting in for sin tonight, and you're getting in for the pleasures of this world tonight, I want to tell you what the return is. The return is an eternity of damnation, damnation. That's the return. My friend, you've got to weigh things up tonight, not just in the light of the next few days or the next few years of your life. My friend, you've got to weigh things up in the light of eternity. You've got a soul that will last forever and ever and ever. A soul that will exist forever either in heaven with Christ for those that have committed their all to Him. Or an eternity in the lake of fire for those that have wanted to hold on to their own life and do their own thing and go in for their own pleasures and their own sin. My friend, weigh things up tonight. Your personal choice tonight has eternal consequences.
No, just consequences for tomorrow and next week and next year, but for eternity.
Lord Jesus finishes this wee section by dealing with personal associations. He says, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, he says, of him shall the Son of Man also be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. You see, there are people tonight that are ashamed of Christ. They don't really want to be associated with Him. Because the price is too high. The cost of commitment is too great. The demands of discipleship is too strenuous. And they don't really want to be associated with Him because of the shame and the reproach and everything that's associated with Christ. They're ashamed of Him. Maybe you're there tonight. Maybe deep down you're ashamed of Christ. You wouldn't like the people at your work to know that you're a Christian. You wouldn't like the people in the street to know. You wouldn't like the rest of your family to know. You're ashamed of Christ. You don't want to be associated with Him. The Lord Jesus Christ said, ah, that's right. There are those down here and they're ashamed of me. They don't want to be associated with me. There's coming a day when I'll be ashamed of them and I won't want to be associated with them. The Bible talks about a day when the door's going to be shut. That's really the door of opportunity for men to get saved. The door of opportunity for you to get saved shut. Now those are going to come and they're going to knock on the door. And the Lord's going to say, listen, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Of course, they say, but Lord, we ate and drank in your presence. And we heard you in the streets. Lord's like, I never knew you. But Lord, we sat in gospel meetings. And we knew some of your people. We associated with the Christians. And we came to the cafe and we came to the meetings. I never knew you. I never knew you. You were too ashamed of me. You didn't want to be associated with me. The price was too high for you. You didn't want to deny yourself. You didn't want to take up the cross. You didn't want to follow me. You wanted your sin. You wanted the world. I don't know you. Depart from me. You work out of iniquity. You see, your choice today. Your personal choice. And nobody can make the choice for you. Your personal choice. It's going to have eternal consequences. These are searching things to me, aren't they? These are solemn things. I've just got to leave them with you. I've just got to lead you to weigh these things up in the light of heaven, in the light of hell today. In the light of God's presence. In the light of Christ's demands. It's not an easy thing to become a Christian. To live as a Christian. It's all about commitment. It's all about consecration. It's all about yielding all, abandoning everything to Christ, letting Christ take control of our life. So that turning our back on our sin, turning our back on self, turning our back on the world, dying to all that, becoming alive to Jesus Christ and allowing Him to bring us into the enjoyment of the fullness of His life and His glory. You need to make that choice for Him. To follow Christ. To trust in Christ. To yield your all to Christ. To allow Christ to become Lord of your life. You can make that choice for Him. A glorious choice. And the rest of your life will not be easy. But Christ will be there. He'll sustain you. He'll guide you. He'll be all that you need. But my friend, your future for eternity will be glorious. A future in heaven with the Lord Jesus in the enjoyment of His life forever. But you might decide tonight that, well, the price is too high. The cost is too great. There's too many things to give up. There's things I don't want to let go. There was a woman in the Old Testament called Lot's wife. I don't know her own name, but she was the wife of Lot. And you know, she heard a message of warning to flee for her life, to flee from the wrath to come. And she started to flee and she stopped. And she looked back to the city where she had come. Because there was something there that she didn't want to leave. Some sinful habit, some pleasure, some relationship, I don't know, but there was something in the city that she didn't want to leave. And she stood, and she looked, and she lingered. Until it was too late. And the judgment of God fell. And that woman perished. Not because she didn't know that she needed to be saved. She did know she needed to be saved. And she didn't perish because she didn't know the way of escape. She did know the way of escape. But she perished because there was just something in that old world that she wasn't prepared to leave go. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I don't know what she gave in exchange for her soul, but there was something in that world that was more precious to her than her soul, more precious than salvation. And she perished. My friend, what about you, honey? What's keeping you back from a total and absolute commitment to Jesus Christ? What's keeping you back, honey? What's holding you back? What would you give in exchange for your soul, honey? I then be prepared tonight just to relinquish everything and abandon yourself by faith to the Lord Jesus, and you'll find that He's not a disappointment. And if you're prepared to lose your life, to give up your life for Christ's sake and for the gospel's sake, then you'll save your life. You'll preserve it. And you'll preserve it for heaven. For all eternity. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we just bow in thy presence and pray that these truths would challenge all our hearts, even those of us who are Christians. We think of how that so often we just would seek to take control of our life back to ourselves, and we still want to do our own thing and plan out our own courses of action. Lord, forgive us for that. And we just pray that we would hear again the demands of the Lord Jesus Christ, the call of God to discipleship, and enable us all tonight, our God, just to come to that point where we're prepared to deny ourselves and take up the cross daily and just follow Christ and thus enter into the fullness of all that he has for us. So, our Father, we thank you again for this meeting. Challenge every heart, we pray, and take glory to thy name as sinners would be brought to faith in the Lord Jesus and to total commitment unto himself. We ask these things in his own name. Amen. Now we'll just take time just to sing a verse of a hymn. It's hymn number 250. Hymn number 250. We're just going to sing the last verse. The first verse is, "Once again the gospel message from the Saviour you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord?" Verse 5, the verse that we're going to sing, says, "Let your will to God be given. Trust in Christ's atoning blood. Look to Jesus, now in heaven, rest on his unchanging word." So we're going to just remain seated and sing the last verse, verse 5 of hymn number 250, and after that the meeting is over. We just thank you again for coming. If there's anything that we've said that you want clarified, if you want to speak to us personally, then I'd be quite happy to do that, either here or to meet you in your home or anywhere else. There's free literature there. If you want a booklet to explain the message of the gospel, then just ask us. There's booklets there. They're free of charge. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible there as well, free of charge, to anyone that's prepared to take it and to read it, and thus to try to, thus to come to know God and his Son as your Saviour. So we just remain seated and sing the last verse of 250, and the meeting starts.